go with me this morning to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, contending for the gospel. Our passage today, Paul is addressing a problem in Galatia. There are false teachers spreading a false gospel. And to make matters worse, the Galatian Christians are listening to them. The Bible deals often with the subject of false teaching and false gospels. Our Sunday school lessons recently have been about that. In Jude verse 3, we are told to contend for the faith. We're to stay true to the gospel. In other words, know what you believe and stand on the truth. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us that we should always be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. We must know that the truth of God is, so that we will know when we are being fed something that's not true, something that's false. And here in Galatians, the Apostle Paul is training his audience to contend with their opponents by showing them and us how to detect false gospels and recognize the true one. So let's look in Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be accursed. Now notice first the Galatians' departure from the truth. The Galatians are turning away from the gospel. Now that's a serious mistake. You say, well, how and why would they do that? But Paul said they're turning to a different gospel. The word turning there has the idea of switching allegiance, to being loyal to one way and then switching to a different way. It's like a soldier going over to fight for the other side. The Galatians had come to Christ, and they put on the robes of righteousness, and now they were turning back to the garbage and putting on their old clothes of religion based on works. They were trading the gospel of free grace and free salvation to a false religion where they would try to earn their salvation. And listen, that's a miserable place to be. That's a miserable place to be. Now, Paul was in agony over this. Agony over the Galatians' departure from the truth. Paul was also in agony that it was happening so soon. He says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and you're turning to a different gospel. Now, just imagine a moment if you were Paul. You went out to start these new churches through many of your own personal tribulation, great trouble, great suffering, traveling over rough terrain, facing danger, had been left for dead from seeing a few people come to Christ and churches start to form. And then almost immediately when you leave, the new believers are turning away from the faith and going in a different direction. How would that make you feel? How would you feel if you were Paul? Would you be amazed, astonished, shocked, even angry? You can hear Paul's anguish in chapter 5 of this book. In verse 1 it says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Trying to work your way to heaven is slavery. You can also hear Paul's frustration in chapter 3 of this book in verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has hypnotized you that there's another way? You know, when new believers come along, And I've seen this happen so often. New believers, if they are not grounded in the truth of the Word of God, there's a great danger that they'll turn away. How many times have you seen that? And the bad thing is, they're still looking. They may have turned away, kind of turned back out into the world, but they're still looking at that decision that they made and believing themselves to be saved, yet they've turned away. Maybe they are saved, and they just drifted away. But maybe not. I mean, who knows? God knows. But I might also add to that that it's not just new believers. It's also immature believers that have a danger of turning away from the truth and falling suspect to false teaching. But the situation of the Christians at Galatia was not hopeless. Through careful correction by Paul, they could be brought back. And if you know those people who have turned away from the faith, it is not hopeless. They can be brought back to Christ and back into the fold. They can be brought back. Now here's what happens when a person tragically turns from the gospel. When you turn from the gospel, you turn away from God Himself. When you turn from the gospel, you're turning from the God of all grace. God is the one who sent His only Son to die for you on the cross, right? God is the one who sent His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God cares that you do not die and perish in hell. He loved you enough to send His Son to set you free from sin. Amen and amen. Talking about freedom, we're thinking about freedom this coming week with the 4th of July coming up, and we're talking about the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. I want to remind you this morning that you've got freedom in Christ. Amen? Freedom in Christ. But there's some dangers. Also, when it's obvious that when you turn from the gospel, you're turning away from Christ. The gospel is salvation by faith in Christ alone, not Christ plus something else. The false teachers that Paul was addressing here, called the Judaizers, were saying that you had to have Christ plus adhering to the Jewish law. It's Christ plus something. It's not just enough to trust Christ as Savior and Him alone. But the gospel is a gospel of grace. Faith alone and Christ alone. Amen? When you turn to a different gospel from that, some salvation of your own making, then you're turning away from Christ. Another problem with turning away is when you turn from the gospel, you've got nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go. Notice after Paul told them in verse 6 that they were turning to a different gospel, in verse 7 he says, not that there is another one. Not that there is another one. In fact, there's not another gospel. There's only one. There's only the one that we see in our Bibles. They're not different gospels to pick from like food on a buffet bar. It's not Christ plus how good you are or anything else. It's Christ and Him alone. It's faith alone and Christ alone. That's the gospel, right? Now I want you to also see in this passage false teachers' distortion of the truth. False teachers create confusion and division. You know, I don't know how someone gets involved in false teaching other than it's a means to make lots of money, maybe, or something. Or by some sick reason, they enjoy misleading people. I pray every Sunday that I'll say the right thing. I pray every week that, God, would you help me say and be truthful and true to your word. Because I'd be afraid to stand one day before God having misled a bunch of folks. It would be a sorry day But false teachers have, and they do today, create confusion and division. It, end of verse 7 said, "But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." The word trouble, as it's used here, as the idea of shaking things up or throwing the church into confusion. Of course, behind every false teacher is Satan. That's where it comes from. If Satan is successful at creating confusion with the gospel message or distorting the true gospel, then he has succeeded in destroying the church. Because the church was created and lives by the gospel. That's what we are, right? No doubt Satan operates more effectively through false gospels than any other avenue. He twists and confuses the pure gospel of grace. And false teachers, they don't always stand out in the crowd, in the Christian crowd. They don't always stand out in the Christian crowd. They're kind of like sly wolves who sneak in. They don't come into and make an announcement, "Good morning, I'm a false teacher, and I want you to listen to my lies today. Would you stay and listen to that?" Probably not, but that's not how they do. They sneak in. The sad thing is that there are some who sincerely believe that what they're teaching is the truth. See, there's false teachers who are in it for personal gain, and then there's some that are just misled. I've had friends like that. They're just misled. They really sincerely believe that what they're teaching is true. But the fact is they've been duped into thinking that God has given them special revelation of some kind, when in fact it is Satan. Let me tell you this morning that if you ever feel like you've got special revelation, it better be in your Bible somewhere. Because if you've got some special revelation that you can't back up by the Word of God, then it's not special. It's not special. So people could be misled. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be that happy face that you see at church. And certainly it could be some slick so-called preacher on TV. But anyone promoting something other than the gospel is rightly identified as a false teacher. Now, another thing that false teachers do is reverse the gospel. And I'll explain what that means in a second. But the English Standard Version of the Bible, which is what I'm using, uses the word distort in verse 7. Other versions may say change or pervert. So Paul is saying to the church at Galatia that there's some false teachers that have come into the church to change and pervert or distort the gospel. The word in the Greek there that this was translated from means to make a radical change. So these false teachers were radically changing the gospel when they took away the grace element and saying that you must earn your salvation, or that you've got to do this or you've got to do that. A friend of mine said one time, he says, you got to speak in tongues in order to finish your salvation. Well, you know what? My salvation was finished on the cross of Christ. And when I placed my faith in Jesus, he saved me and sealed me for all eternity. Amen. He gave me his Holy Spirit, filled me up with it. Amen. One commentator suggested, though, that a good way to render this word distort is to say reverse. Again, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, very familiar verses, we're told that we're saved by grace. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. It's not any way to work your way there. Works come, but they come after salvation, right? You're created unto good works after salvation. These false teachers would say we earn grace and salvation by our works. I tell you, if I had to earn it, I'd be on the bottom of the pile, wouldn't you? I feel like I'd be down in the lowest rut I could crawl in. But reversing the gospel is what that is. Getting the cart before the horse, as they say. How do people do that today? Some teacher believe that you merit eternal life by how good you are. Unless you die and then everybody says you went to heaven. Anyway, you ever notice that? Everybody goes to heaven after they're dead. No matter what kind of life they lived, no matter if they followed Jesus or not, no matter if they ever made a decision or not, when they die, they went to heaven. Or they'll say they're looking down from above. And I just cringe sometimes when I hear that. Are they really looking down? Are they really in heaven? I'm telling you, unless they follow the gospel that's in your Bible and my Bible, they're not in heaven, my friends. And it's sad, isn't it? It's sad. Not everybody goes to heaven when they die. Only those who have placed faith in Christ and Him alone. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good things. You can't live a good enough life. You can't treat others well enough to ever earn your way into heaven. You see, you need something that's far greater than morality. You must have perfect righteousness. Has anybody here today, on your own, attained perfect righteousness? Would you stand up and tell us about it? Only perfectly righteous people, not people who are merely good and mortal, can go to heaven. And the only one who ever lived on this earth who was perfectly righteous was Jesus. We need His righteousness in order to have eternal life. It's Jesus that imputes righteousness to us when we trust Him as Savior. He said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, He says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one goes to heaven but by Me. No one goes to heaven except by Jesus. Faith alone in Jesus alone saves you by the grace of God, not your ability to be good. And listen, if things in this world keep going like they're going, you and I are going to realize that the only one we have left is Jesus. That's all we got is Jesus. We can fool ourselves into thinking that if we just had the right man in the president's office, or if we just had the right congressman or the right politician, that things could change, things could get better. You can't legislate morality. You've heard that before, right? You can't legislate morality. We're going to realize someday, Christians are going to realize that church and Jesus are not just something we do if we have time on our schedules. We're going to realize that Jesus is all that we've got. And we need Jesus. We need Jesus desperately. Now notice, there's a warning to false teachers. Verse 8, let's pick up there. Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. That's how serious it is, right? As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Says that twice, doesn't he? Very strong. Reminds us as teachers our solemn responsibility to handle the Word of God correctly. Paul says if anyone, including himself, would preach a gospel contrary to what's here, if we are an angel from heaven, he said. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us that false teachers disguise themselves as apostles of Christ to deceive. But that passage also reminds us that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. So Satan simply works through false teachers to make them sound and look good in order to deceive. I wish I could pull the plug on a lot of these TV preachers. I wish I could just pull the plug at the garbage that's on there. But it fits in with all the other garbage that's on TV, right? There's a bunch of garbage on there. I seen this show coming up. They're advertising some summer series about love. Something about couples, you know, doing all these things. Nobody ever talks about marriage and the right thing and the godly thing, but they'll still do all that other. It's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. Here's why it's so important that we keep the gospel pure. Keeping the gospel pure is essential because Christ's glory is at stake. False gospels boast about a man's achievements. The true gospel only boasts about the Lord. I don't want to stand here and tell you about my achievements. Who cares, right? I want to stand here and boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd have nothing. You'd have nothing. Every blessing you have is not of your own achievements. You may think you had a lot of big part in it and all this stuff, and I did this and I did that. I knew this Sunday school teacher one time that would tell his class, he says, talking about his brother who was wealthy, he says, pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. If he did, Jesus put the bootstraps there for him to grab, right? Put his hand on him, helped him pull it up. You don't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's a blessing of Jesus, right? It's a blessing. Boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Boast in Jesus. Keeping the gospel pure also is essential because people's souls are at stake, right? We don't want to mislead people. Romans 9:3, Paul said he wished he would be accursed and himself and cut off from Jesus that his brothers might benefit. We looked at that last Sunday, I believe. Jesus said it would be better for a man to have a millstone placed around his neck and cast into the sea than to cause someone to stumble and disbelieve the gospel. That's serious business, isn't it? It's important that the gospel goes out clearly and correctly because people's souls are at stake. Well, also keeping the gospel pure is essential because the health of the church is at stake. You know, how we handle the gospel in this church determines how healthy this church is, right? It determines the health of this church. We can disagree about a lot of things in church life, but one thing we must come together on is agreement in the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? If we miss that, then we've missed everything. We're wasting our time if we miss the gospel. Yet sadly, within many churches, more people divide over issues that have nothing to do with the gospel than over this matter of first importance, right? It's all about Jesus, right? We're all about Jesus. We're all about the gospel. We're all about seeing people get saved, right? We're all about protecting the health of this church. Now notice there lastly, in verse 10, Paul said, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. When you stand on the side of the truth of God's word, you're not always going to be liked. You're not always going to be the most popular person. But whose approval are you trying to get, right? Are you trying to get a man's approval? Or are you trying to get God's approval? I don't know about you, but the latter is a better choice, right? God's approval. In concerning yourself about what everyone thinks, are you worshiping people or are you worshiping God? Right? What about you? Do you know today that you've accepted the correct gospel in your heart? The true gospel is the one that's in your Bible. Place your faith alone in Christ alone, you can be saved. Have you received the true gospel of Jesus? Christ is what you need. Christ is what I need. And He's all that you need because He's all sufficient to meet all of your needs, right? It's all about Jesus. It's not about us, right? It's about Him. So would you agree with me that this morning? And I want to invite you to trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Wake up and trust Jesus and Him alone. Faith alone and Christ alone. Let's stand. Father, help us, Lord, as we consider these things in Your Word today. And I pray that if there's someone here today that needs to make a new decision, a fresh decision, or a renewed decision about Jesus today, Lord, the gospel is at stake. And people's souls are at stake. So let, Lord, help us to walk rightly in Your Word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.